Off the Ball, GAA.
I didn't have a great really relationship with County Board after that at all. Yeah, it was just a funny kind of a moment. It's well known, like, I got stamped on that day.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own, he gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to discuss Munster's defeat to Leinster in Croke Park. Certainly plenty of talking points coming out of that game. And Leinster star of the week, and we look ahead Munster's trip to South Africa as well. So a busy show coming up for you on the Red 78. Fiona, Alan, a pleasure as always. How are you guys?
Good, Rory. Delighted to be back. I was away in Munich, so I had the pleasure of watching the Munster Leinster in an Irish bar in Munich. In Munich, sorry, surrounded by Leinster fans, so it just wasn't quite the same. I think I'll have to do my planning better because I was raging and I wasn't there.
At least you're in Munich though for it, so I can soft the blow slightly. Quinny, how are you, sir?
Good, thanks. Yeah, all good. Could have been a lot worse. After 15 minutes, it was 21. Munster were 21-0 down, so it was an incredible occasion in a sense, just to see Croke Park packed out. The atmosphere wasn't the greatest in the world, I think, particularly after the start, you know, and it wasn't a tight game, but Munster responded pretty well. So I left Croke Park not feeling too bad. could have been a lot worse, but look, they have so much strength and depth, and I know they had their own injuries, but the players they can replace their injured players with is as they're at a different level than any team. So it was some positives to take out of it, but obviously it was a disappointing result in the end again.
It certainly was. We'll get into all that. We'll get into the meat and bone of that very, very shortly. First off, Fiona, obviously a lot of comments reaching us on the show this week, and you've got them there.
Yeah, I'll say a few here. I won't be able to go through them all, but thanks a million. We are reading everyone's comments and we'll try and get through as many as we can. I'll start with Alan O'Flynn. Tough day out. Some calls didn't go our way. Ferocious first 15 minutes. When our line-out stats improve, we are in good shape. I reckon a wish list for me would be a specialist 7. Anyone else feel the same? And just on that, in response to Liam Mead, or Alan, sorry, Liam Mead had, would you not say Hodnett or Kendellan are genuine sevens? Excited for a proper look at Kendellan after the emerging Ireland tour. What's your take on that, Quinny?
He did very well, for sure. And it was a brilliant couple of weeks for Ireland, the emerging Ireland team in South Africa. And in some ways, it would have been nice to see him come back, Alex Kendellan, last week, because he didn't play the last match; he wasn't involved in that. So, but he led the team really well, and he's a very important player now, you think, for Munster. And but the challenge is, you know, playing these big games and playing back with Munster, and hopefully he can continue that form. But he had a very good couple of weeks.
Yeah. Cool. Christopher Murphy has, the attack was too easily read. Leinster were onto the ball carriers in open play almost the instant they got the ball, with a few exceptions. The defence allowed tries far too easily in the first half, tightened up in the second, but the horses were out of the barn by then. John McDonnell has, Munster now are an average team with gutsy performers competing at the highest level, where Leinster are at takes the money to buy, develop world-class players. Munster, Connacht and Ulster not supported by the RFU. Can Ireland support four provinces going forward? He has. And John Carroll, Munster lacks some big ball carriers and our defence got very narrow on more than one occasion. Our wingers were biting in and leaving the attack overloaded on the outside. Saturday showed the gulf between the teams. O'Mahony's intensity was really missed. And I'll finish up just John Callanan. Need a front row, greater depth. Need a hole puncher out of the pack. Buying two big props, no offence to our lads, but they need backup. Also need a Richie McCaw-type character. You, if you could, clone yourself, Quinny. You're getting all the compliments today, Quinny.
Good Lord.
You would have loved being out there, I'd say.
You certainly would have been. We've loads to talk about in this game, lads. I mean, like, Where do you start? I suppose the obvious thing to start with is Munster's start. You've conceded three tries in 15 minutes. I'm getting texts and saying this is going to be 50 points easy here. What's going through your head when you're seeing the start that Munster had on Saturday night?
No, just as an eerie silence there, really, from Munster fans. Obviously, Leinster fans are in joyous mood. It's not a surprise that they're capable of doing this, Leinster, because we've seen them do it before. And the previous week, they were so dominant against Benetton in that first half. But it's challenging when you're the away team and you're playing against an opponent who's so strong, powerful, and has so much quality. I'm sure Munster would have spoken about that, not giving them this really good start that they got. But sometimes there's not a lot you can do. I think if you go through the first couple of tries, Munster actually started well. I know it's very early, 3, 4, 5 minutes. They actually had some good moments in the game. The first try, the couple of wide passes off the breakdown caught Munster. They were very bunched. And I think maybe some of that is down to a fear about Leinster's power when they carry the likes of Doris and Jack Cohn and Furlong, Porter, these guys. Sometimes you need two players hitting them. A lot of the time you do. So they were quite bunched. And then the wide passes, I think, caught them off the breakdown. And then they were able to get outside them and keep the ball alive. And the James Lowe pass over the top, well, probably seen that a few times before with Gibson Park. He's so good at finding that pass. And James Lowe, 6 minutes in, first try. And essentially, it's the first hammer blow, but you try and dust yourself off. They're under the posts. And, 4 minutes later, they're back under the posts again. It's a tough one to take because I think Munster got a penalty outfield and Caelan Doris came in from the side. Munster kicked down into the Leinster 22. They're 7-0 down. Line out is stalled by James Ryan. I think it's a poor call. It's probably a very compressed 6-man line out, two pods, and they steal the line out. It was Dermot Barnes' first throw. Niall Scanlon has gone off at this stage. And it's difficult for a hooker to come in. He only throws it where he's told to throw it. It wasn't a bad throw, but I just think it was very compressed. Leinster did really well to pinch that, but it's an opportunity gone. They then go down the field a little bit and they have another line out. It's Dermot Barnes' second throw. It's thrown over the top to nobody. Leinster gathered a ball at the back of the line out. It's a complete miscommunication. It's on the halfway line. They go wide. They come back in field. RG Snyman carries. He knocks the ball on. That was missed. It happens. But it shouldn't really happen given, about 2 minutes later, Caelan Doris is scoring under the post, which is, they go back wide and get down the touchline. James Lowe takes a quick penalty 5 yards out and they started building phases. And again, Munster were caught with those wide passes from Gibson Park and Doris scores under the post. So, it was a knock on. It was about six phases earlier. You can't go back and look at that. It's way too far back, but it was missed. And for the Hugo Keenan try, then the third one, it's 4 minutes later. It's a surge of pressure. But Munster, Jack Crowley, he cuts back in feet. Munster win a ball in a line out. They go up the middle. Look like they're going around the far side, but he cuts back left leg down into that corner again where they lost the first line out. And immediately Leinster counter-attack. James Lowe goes down the touchline, chips it over the top. Jack Crowley, in fairness, got backed in brilliantly, regathered it. Doris forces a penalty, and then the inevitable happens again, where Munster give away a penalty or two with the line out. I think second one, they cut in field and they're quite compressed again. And it's good execution. Hugo Keenan's in under the post. I think the point I'm making here is the first one, there's not a lot you can do. It's really, bar being a bit wider in defence. The second and third try could have been different for Munster. They had, two lineouts lost in quick succession. And then, bit of luck went against them as regards the knock-on was missed. And you know, they're conceding two tries there. Credit to James Lowe, because when he gets up that wing, he's really good at that chip over the top and regathering it and all that kind of stuff. And it just, Munster went from the Jack Crowley kick where he cuts back towards the dressing room side and kicks with the left leg into the backfield. Leinster counterattack big. So Munster go from having the ball in their 22 to suddenly being down defending their own line again. And so I'd say they will definitely look at that and be frustrated and a bit disappointed with the way they conceded the second and third try.
Quinny, that second try, I paused it, and that Gibson Park to Van der Fleer, they're on the 5 meter line. It's not very deep pass, and he passes seven Munster defenders, the line speed to get off if you were 5 meters out and the ball is in the air for that long, you should be absolutely smashing the ball carrier.
I think it was it to pass to Jamie Osborne, and he gets the offload up to Van der Fleer, and then he nearly gets to the line, and then they go wide, from that. Was that the first try?
No, it's the second try. It's when the ball goes, Van der Fleer offloads then to Conan on the outside, to Doris on the outside.
Yeah. It's like the first try and the second one. It's similar, those wide passes and... Mm. They're so flat, as you say. But look, it's easy to say this, but when you're on the back foot there and you have probably, you're trying to stay connected with your defenders, and we know Munster had problems in round one and round two defensively. So maybe it's a little bit of a safety net to stay a bit closer and stop that real physical those real physical carries from Leinster. But yes, one pass takes out six, seven defenders, and it's brilliant from Gibson Park. And it's identified probably by Leinster to say, let's get a little bit of width in these passes rather than just a one-out runner coming around the corner. And they did brilliantly with that. So we're talking here, Rory, being standing under your post as a player. And I genuinely was thinking what that feeling is like as a player in that group, in that huddle, trying to kind of go, how do we pick people up here? What do you say? What does Ty Burn say? What do the other senior players say? And sometimes there's an absolute desperation and you have no choice but to react, and or else it's actually an obliteration. And in fairness to them, they reacted brilliantly. I know one of the messages that came in there, Munster's tack was predictable and it wasn't causing any problems, but I disagree. I think Munster caused Leinster loads of problems in attack. Leinster scramble defense is outstanding, the way they can get back, and they can, you know, suddenly kind of what turns into a possible score for the opposition, they can suddenly get back, regather, regroup, turn the ball over, force someone into touch, make a last ditch tackle, and we saw that so many times. Munster could have scored 2-3 more tries in that game easily against different opposition. But you have to give credit to Leinster, the way they get back and they readjust. You know, Munster had 14 offloads in the game. It's a high number. Their line breaks. What were the line breaks? Was it 14? 27 defenders beaten. Clean breaks, 9 to Leinster's 4. So, look, stats, do they really matter? Would Leinster be concerned and frustrated? And it does nothing on the scoreboard at the end. But it just, if you kind of peel it back a little bit, it shows how good Leinster are getting back. If somebody breaks their line, they're so quick. Their speed of movement on the ground is incredible. And we saw that so many times. We saw Andrew Porter making a brilliant tackle, a last-ditch tackle. It's just frustrating when you're very close. I think some of Munster's execution, when they got those little gaps and breaks, there should have been a few passes given.
Yeah.
I think Nankerville should have passed to Thomas Ahern. John Hodnett should have passed to, I'm not sure who was outside him at one stage in the second half. There was a turnover at 26-12 with about 10 minutes to go that Munster got on the far side of the field, and they ended up having a 3-on-1. And they got very bunched, and you know, if Shea McCarthy gets that quicker, he possibly is a line break up the wing. Hugo Keenan is not there at fullback because it was Leinster's attack that Munster turned it over. So there's definitely a good few things there that Munster would be disappointed with. And the reality here is for like Leinster are an extremely good side. They're an exceptional side. They have their own injuries. But like I said, they can replace them with so much quality and they've so much depth. But Munster can take some stuff. And if you want to beat someone like Leinster, whether it be in a semi-final or a final or one of the top teams in Europe, you have to have a nearly a blemish-free kind of stats scenario, i.e. your set piece needs to be really good. You can't afford to lose lineouts. Your breakdown needs to be high. Your turnovers lost need to be low. So in other words, it's like anyone, when you're the underdog in any sport, you need to kind of get close to a kind of a nine out of 10 performance to beat the better opposition, if you like. And unfortunately, Munster, given Leinster that start, they given themselves a mountain to climb. And I genuinely say, you know, there's deficiencies there, of course, but the reaction was something that I would say, you know, they can take some credit for that and they can take some pride out of that because they could have wilted and they caused Leinster problems. So they came back. The big positive with the performance was the attack because they did create a lot of space and they caused Leinster problems in their attack. 27 defenders beaten to Leinster's 14. Now, Leinster people might say, well, we don't need to beat loads of defenders. We just need to score tries when we get down there and be ruthless. Absolutely agree with that. But, you know, the problem here, the big problem was the eight lineouts. Officially lost four, but there's another three that are an absolute mess and you can't launch any attack off them. So is that down to good Leinster defence in the lineout? Absolutely. Leinster are a top-level team, so that's an area that they put big pressure on opposition, try and steal lineouts. They'll have it this week. We'll talk about the Stormers. The Stormers in three games, their lineout is 100%. They haven't lost the lineout. So that's an area, if Munster want to do well in South Africa, they've got to get their set piece right, which isn't always easy because particularly around scrum time. So the lineout on last Saturday was poor. I think, yes, James Ryan, that first one that he steals, brilliant take. Poor call, in my opinion. Very compressed. It's a six-man lineout. They bunch up together. It's something, again, that Munster have probably struggled a little bit in the last couple of years, at times in games that they've lost. So that's nitpicking. But, like, the reality is when you've eight lineouts that you can't launch any sort of attack off and even get your maul going. Five clean lineouts lost and the other three were a mess. So that's where, you know, the problems lie. If you look at Munster's physicality, like meters made were 333 meters. So if you're trying to take positives and you're looking at this, analyzing this, there's chances created, there's line breaks made, and it's just that last bit of patience or execution. Leinster didn't need to make loads and loads of meters. They made 222 because, and maybe that was part of their, maybe did they switch off a little bit? Did they get a bit comfortable? Did Munster react? And in sport, of course, if you're going to get whitewashed here and a massive scoreline, you're going to react out of desperation. But overall, I think there'll be definitely some frustrations and it could have been closer in the end, you know, and I just thought the reaction was really positive out of Munster. There is a gap and that's the reality. We spoke about it going into the game. But yeah, I would think that Munster's physicality was a lot better than maybe round one and round two. So if they can build on that going forward and get some players back, well, they'll be in the mix and they'll win more games than they'll lose. But a little harsh lesson in the first 15 minutes last week, and you can't do that against a team so good.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to our full episode where we continue talking about the Munster and Leinster clash in Croke Park, we name our star of the week and we look ahead to the Reds' trip to South Africa, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify, or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot,